133, blessed by the Lord. How do populist political leaders like Donald Trump and Boris Johnson and Jair Bolsonaro address issues in their countries? Well, if you listen to them, they often and usually politicise issues and with a goal of polarising the responses. It seems that the issue is less important than who you are supporting. You're either for them or against them. In this psalm, the focus is on unity, the unity of God's people. The dictionary defines unity in this way: oneness, a state of being one or at one, the arrangement of all parts to one purpose or effect, harmony. In the psalm, unity is about togetherness, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. David is the writer of the psalm, so what's the context in which he's writing? Well, the immediate context is his family and his sons: Absalom, Amnon, Adonijah, Solomon. When I read out the names, you'll recognise that they're characterised not by unity, but by hostility and jealousy and conflict. The wider context for David is his role as king, king of Israel as a nation, and the brotherhood of God's people. What about for us? Unity is for the body of believers, for the Christian church. So we read in Romans, in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That's the picture that Paul paints of God's people there and in other places. One body, many members. All together, brothers and sisters adopted into God's family through Jesus. The unity is created by God through Jesus and by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not a human design. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German Lutheran pastor who opposed the Nazis, and he was executed at Flossenbürg concentration camp in April 1945 at the age of 39. He wrote a book about Christian community called Life Together. Here are some of his words. Christian brotherhood is not an ideal which we must achieve. It is rather a reality created by God in Christ in which we may participate. The Bible tells us that we are to maintain unity, to keep unity. It never says create unity. So Ephesians 4 verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When Jesus prayed for his disciples and for those who would believe through them, that's people like us, what did he pray? He prayed for unity. John 17, 20-21, Jesus prayed, my prayer is not for them alone, that's his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Our unity as believers is intended to reflect the perfect unity in the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's our model. So how do we maintain unity? Well, listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then in Philippians chapter 2, verses 2-5. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Unity comes through living the Jesus way with the Jesus mindset, being humble, seeking to love, to be patient, to be gentle, to be self-giving, to be self-denying. If we look at it in terms of a priority of relationships, then God comes first, then it's others, and then it's me. So as we think about unity, it's the essence of Christian relationships. It's the reflection of God's unity. We can't create it, but we can damage it or disrupt it or even destroy it. So we're called to keep unity, maintain unity, treasure unity. Why? Well, because it's pleasant. Unity is pleasant. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Things that are good for us are not always pleasant. We know that from our own experience. Wearing a face mask is not pleasant, but it is good for us and it's good for others because it protects. It protects our health. Unity is pleasant. It's pleasant for us as God's people, but it's even more pleasant for God. It's pleasing to him. Unity fulfills God's will for his people, his purpose for his people. The pleasantness and the goodness of unity is painted here in two pictures. The first is from the Old Testament, the oil over Aaron. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. The picture is of the anointing of the high priest, where oil is poured over him to set him apart to serve God. The oil speaks of specialness, of sacredness, and unity is special to God. We read this in Exodus chapter 30, verses 30 to 32. The instructions: anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. Say to the Israelites, this is to be my sacred anointing oil for the generations to come. Do not pour it on anyone else's body, and do not make any other oil using the same formula. It is sacred, and you are to consider it sacred. The oil speaks of fragrance, and the unity is fragrant to the Lord. Exodus 30, verse 25. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Oil that's perfume, a fragrant smell. Oil is often used also as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So that's one picture for the pleasantness of unity. The second is about the mountain called Hermon. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Mount Hermon is the highest mountain in the region. At the time of writing, it was in northern Israel. Today, it's in Syria on the border with Lebanon. It's 2,814 metres. It's known for its heavy dew. The picture of dew speaks of refreshment, of freshness, like the smell of damp grass in the morning. Unity is like that. It's fresh. It's refreshing. It refreshes the Lord. It also speaks of fertility and productivity. The dew in Israel is important because of the lack of water. Rain comes only early and late in the season, so dew is vital for growth in hot spells. And Christian unity is productive because it witnesses to the reality of the love of Jesus Christ. We read in John chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, how Jesus outlines the potential power and purpose of unity. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Unity in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is made up of all sorts of people. Just think about the church, our church. Would you know one another if you weren't Christians? Would you have anything to do with one another? Probably not. And yet, from different backgrounds, different nations, different places, we are one in Jesus. Unity is pleasant. It's pleasant for the people who are united, and it's pleasing to God. Unity is special, it's fragrant, it's refreshing, it's productive. Unity is also blessed. The last lines of the psalm pick up the thoughts of the first verses. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Unity is a gift of God. Fellowship, community, unity in Jesus can't be taken for granted. I guess we've realised that in recent days with the restrictions of the pandemic, meaning that we, certainly at the beginning, were not able to meet together physically. So unity and community and fellowship are a gift from the Lord. And Bonhoeffer, again in the same book, Life Together, warns that this gift is not to be taken for granted. It's a gift that can easily be disregarded and trodden underfoot by those who have the gift every day. Unity is a gift, and it's a blessing from God. For there, the Lord bestows his blessing. There, where there is unity, there will be blessing. And the word bestows here is much stronger in the Hebrew. It's more like commands or ordains. It's the Lord's pleasure to command blessing where there is unity. It's the blessing of the Lord's presence and his pleasure. It's illustrated, for example, in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 to 20. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Unity is a blessing from the Lord, and it's a blessing which only the Lord can grant. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Life forevermore, eternal life. This is God's life given to his people, those who come to him through faith in Jesus. That life which is enabled by the Holy Spirit. It's a quality of life that comes from knowing and trusting and following the Lord, individually and especially together. It's interesting in the psalm, there's a repetition in the Hebrew, the idea of descending, coming down. So we've got that in verse 2. We have the oil running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, and the word there is descending both times. And then in verse 3 about the dew falling, again it's a picture of descending. So the blessing comes down, it's sent down, it descends from the Lord. Psalm 133, blessed by the Lord. This is the picture of God's ideal for his people, unity, togetherness, care for one another, sharing with one another, encouraging one another. It's a unity that reflects the unity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, their fellowship, their community. It's pleasant for the Lord's people, and it's pleasing to the Lord. It's unity that is refreshing, and it's a powerful witness to God's love to and for his people. This is the unity that brings blessing from the Lord on his people, and it brings blessing from the Lord through his people to others. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. May the Lord help us to be a people that are united in him, who maintain the unity that he has given us through our Lord Jesus Christ, as brothers and sisters in Jesus. Amen.